Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. As we hurtle toward the inevitable end of the NFL season, Will Brinson, Nick Costas here. Nick, you're going to be in San Francisco. I'm going to be in San Francisco.
That will probably make for a good couple of nights, my friend.
There might be some adult beverages drink.
You know, I'm a huge fan of adult beverages. You know, when I was a kid, I liked the child beverages. Like Yoo-Hoo, I think, was my favorite. Juicy Juice, I was a big fan of. But now that I'm an adult, I like to partake in an adult beverage every now and then. I enjoy imbibing. And perhaps you and I will get to imbibe together at some point next week in San Francisco.
Well, after a hard day's work of sitting in front of a desk and talking to celebrities, you know, you gotta really have to go drink it off. I mean,
well, you know, it's like I say, people like to say that they burn calories on the treadmill or lifting weights. I'm going to be doing a lot of hobnobbing out in San Francisco. And nothing really gets the heart rate going like hobnobbing and gets the thirst going for a nice quench with an adult beverage.
It's a really tough life. People should never get into this business. It's very, very difficult. All right, let's talk some news around the NFL, and then we'll dive into a couple prop bets as well as talk about the line that's moved. Reminder, if you want to get a picks, I know there's an A pick on the Super Bowl sitting for you at sportsline.com. You can go to sportsline.com, sign up. It's $10 a month or $100 a year if you want to get the discount. 55% hits on NBA picks right now, and the NFL picks did very well for the season. I'm not going to give away what the A pick is. Well, I don't want to say anything about it. You can go check it out if you want to see it, because I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah, and look, we've also got videos that Todd Furman and myself did a video earlier this week with our early leans. We have another video coming out on Tuesday with our official pick for Super Bowl 50. And if you watch the video, you can get to see what the Sportsline A pick is on the Super Bowl. So make sure you check those videos out in case you want to be a real cheapskate and not fork over the $10 a month during Super Bowl month, where you're going to be placing lots of money on the game, and $10 can help win you a lot of money. Yeah, but hey, that's your decision to make.
Like, you put $10, like, you're going to bet $10 on the coin toss.
And you won't, bet $10 on the coin toss.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? Like an average person might throw $10 in the coin toss, but you won't throw $10 for, like, great advice on picks and
I mean,
gambling?
Listen, it's really, if you're listening to this podcast right now, do yourself a favor. Look in the mirror, look at yourself in the eye and say, do I want to win money on the Super Bowl? If the answer is yes, pay $10 and join Sportsline for 1 month. If you like it, you can re-up for another month or for the whole year. And if the answer is no, I don't want to win money on the Super Bowl, then make your own bets blind and lose your money and see how that goes.
Very nice, very nice. They also have the opening line podcast with Adam Azer. Nick, Todd Furman is on there, Larry Hartstein. You can subscribe to that as well. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Will Brinson. Nick is at The Costas. The Will Brinson.
And Will is one of the, was ruled by the Galactic Federation of the Universe, one of the top 100 Twitter follows in the Milky Way galaxy. So make sure at Will Brinson. If you're not following him, you are not doing Twitter correctly.
You're too kind. Okay, so some news. The Eagles have just announced a 6-year contract with tackle Lane Johnson earlier this week on a podcast that ruins the inevitability of it.
Time is a vacuum on podcasts.
That's right. Earlier this circle. Week, time is a, I love that GIF where he's just smashing that beer can. Just, time is a flat circle.
McConaughey?
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
Yeah, it's a great show. Earlier this week, Zach
great
Ertz.
Great first season.
The second season was garbage, yeah.
Abysmal.
Yeah. Miserable. It was, and I tried to defend it through like the first 4 episodes, and then finally I just had to give up the ghost. I mean, it was,
you know what killed it for me after like the 4th episode, when I had to read like a 4 million word recap to figure out who was who.
Yeah,
I said, you know, this is too much work. I'm
it
out.
Was the it was what was the like they just they murdered some guy, and it was like, who is Shane? Who the
like, who is he? Like, yeah. It's like, I shouldn't have to do this much work watching and tell. Like, right. Like, I'm 32 years old. I've got a full-time job. I can't spend time thinking about who this bit character was that got killed in True Detective Season 2, Episode 4.
Speaking of TV shows, by the way, before we get back to the Eagles, Nick and I were actually engaging in a text conversation about the opposite being Seinfeld being on TV last night. Did you enjoy it as much the 500th time as you did the first time?
I legitimately, when I get the time, I mean this, and I actually thought about it this morning because I was laughing, thinking about it. I watch an inordinate amount of Seinfeld. Like, I watch at least one episode of Seinfeld pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah, we were yesterday, talking about, I mean, like, I probably average one a week.
Yesterday, I watched like an hour and a half of Seinfeld. I watched like 3 episodes of Seinfeld. Yeah. One of them was the opposite. I think the funniest line in the show's history, maybe, who are you?
Yes, George.
Looks at her and goes, on the opposite of every man you've ever met. It's just priceless. And like the comedic timing that they have when George comes in and Jerry and Elaine are in there, goes, up is down, left was right. And Jerry and Elaine both chime in perfectly. It is just, It's amazing. Yeah. So yes, I did enjoy it. I laugh. I find myself laughing at new things every time I watch these episodes.
That's the beauty of the show. Same thing with Curb Your Enthusiasm, obviously made by Larry David. And I think the opposite might very well be my favorite. All right. So anyway, the Eagles have locked up Lane Johnson, locked up Zach Ertz. Is it odd to you that they're locking up these Chip Kelly type of guys? Although I think Ertz was before Chip Kelly.
I think Lane was before Chip also.
No, I think Lane was Chip's first
draft. Lane was actually the first draft pick of the Chip era.
Yeah. Because remember, there was talk that they would go get
Deion Jordan,
that's right. And instead, they ended up getting Lane Johnson. Very nice pick. Do you think it's strange that the Eagles are kind of locking up? Like, do you think they're throwing shade at Chip Kelly here, or is this just locking up a good player now while you can?
No, I think Lane Johnson's a really good offensive lineman. And look, if Jason Peters can be healthy, then you've got two solid bookends at the tackle position. And when Jason Peters is eventually done, you can slide Lane Johnson over to the left tackle spot. So I like that move. I'm not as high on Zach Ertz.
He had 350 receiving yards in the last four games last year.
I think he's a nice player, but he had a ton of drops also. I look back to that Saturday night game against the Redskins when the Eagles still had a chance to potentially win the division and the Redskins clinched on Philly's home field.
We both love the Eagles.
We both had Philly in that game. Alligator arms a couple times from Ertz in that game. I like Zach Ertz. I don't think he's a great tight end. I don't think he's a needle mover or a difference maker, but I did like the Lane Johnson move.
Yeah, so the Eagles have locked up some players. Peyton Manning spoke to the media on Thursday, we'll say. Thursday works. And he gave a response to the last rodeo questions. He said, "I don't believe that's been confirmed." I like using my Zeke voice for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I talked to Bill Belichick, and I did not say that to him.
He's like, whatever happened to private conversations on the 50-yard line? And then,
hey, welcome to 2016, Pay-Pay. I don't know if you've noticed, but that's been the way things have been going for the last couple of years here.
You know, we have Snapchat now, Peyton. And then he said, we're on to Carolina. We are on to Carolina, which I thought was a pretty funny line because he's
nice little homage.
Yeah, but you're giving a shout out to Belichick, who the issue is involving. I think we're kind of making. I've written two posts about this, so I shouldn't be. I'm hypocritical in saying we're making too big a deal out of it. But of course, it might be his last rodeo. He's 30. He's 55 or whatever he is. I mean, of course, he might be done. I do think though that his response to the follow up yesterday indicated that he's already to me. I could be wrong, indicated to me that he's already made up his mind and this is, in fact, his last game of football. You believe it?
I remember before Super Bowl 48 being ridiculously sure that that was going to be Peyton's final game against the Seahawks. Now I'm even more sure that this is going to be Peyton's final game. It turned out to be wrong 2 more years after that game. But how? I mean, he's physically broken down. I mean, the fact that he's in the Super Bowl this year, I mean, you couldn't have a better narrative for Peyton to potentially end his career going off into the sunset Super Bowl champion. I got to think that this will be Peyton's last game.
Because I think you look at it too, if you're Peyton and you say, okay, like everything that went wrong went, like I could not have played a worse season. You know, I broke the passing yards record. I got benched the same game.
Yeah.
I dealt with plantar fasciitis. I barely held off Brock Osweiler. I got reinserted, and we managed to steal the one seed and still make it to the Super Bowl because of this great defense. I've got one more shot. I'm going to take it. If I miss, I miss. But if I get it, I get to walk out being the king, and I got to be happy right now walking away. I don't think you want to go be in Cleveland or go be
no.
in, or wherever. You know, you don't want to go limp out in some godforsaken football city.
To steal a line from my guy, Adam Schein, who one of our teammates here at CBS, it's a great line that he always uses, sort of like Willie Mays stumbling around in center field for the Mets after an illustrious career from San Francisco. I don't want to see Peyton do that. I don't want to see Peyton as the quarterback for Jeff Fisher and the Los Angeles Rams going 8-8 next year. If win or lose, I think that this should be it for number 18.
That is an interesting idea, though, that he would go to L.A. Superstar, they might pull a Favre and pay him $25 million for 2 years, and you know, with one year guaranteed or something like that. That's an interesting idea, but I think Peyton would be better served protecting his legacy by walking away because I don't think he's going to have a Favre like resurrection anywhere. Just, you know, he doesn't have that youthful energy that we see in guys like Brett Favre and Cam Newton. The Raiders reportedly exploring a move to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. This is
not going to happen.
You know, like, you know, in business deals, Nick, when you have guys like trying to generate leverage and trying to make things happen, and the Raiders have no leverage because the NFL put them in their place. And so then, like, Mark Davis is out there. This is like Mark Davis's game of like power chicken. He's trying to act like he might go to San Antonio or Las Vegas. That's not happening, dude.
No, I mean, what's next? They're going to go to Abu Dhabi, like the Abu Dhabi Raiders. I mean, Mark Davis is basically going to be like, okay, put the blindfold on me. Let's throw a dart at the map and see where I'm going to move the Raiders to next. No, it's not happening. And yeah. If the Raiders ever play anywhere other than Oakland, and I'll even give, they won two championships in Los Angeles, so I could say even if they went to LA, I think that would be permissible as well. The Raiders should never play anywhere except for Oakland or LA. They are one of the iconic franchises in the NFL. Picturing them in another state than California actually sort of turns my stomach a little bit, and I have had a weak stomach recently, so maybe that's not saying too much, but the Raiders should never have to leave the state of California. Never.
In order of, I would rank them like from least desirable to, I would say that the least desirable thing is they go to San Diego and become the San Diego Raiders. I mean, that's,
I mean, if, that's, if the Raiders go to San Diego, I might stop watching the NFL.
That's some basketball level relocation crap right there.
Like, I might never watch the NFL again if that happens.
Yeah, I'm with you.
San Diego Raiders.
It's a joke.
I mean,
it's a joke.
Give me a break.
Yeah. If you do that, you have to move the names, right? Like, then the Chargers just have to become the Raiders, and the Raiders have to become the Chargers. Or just sell the – how about this? Sell the Chargers to Mark Davis and sell the Raiders to Dean Spanos, and Dean Spanos can take the Raiders back to L.A.
Personally, I would like for both of these owners to be removed and get people in there that want to keep them in their original spots.
And by the way, I think that the reason that you see the Chargers have that first option to go to L.A. as opposed to the Raiders, Stan Kroenke loves the idea of the San Diego Chargers trying to create their own fan base in L.A. where it doesn't exist. He doesn't want to deal with the Raiders who already have a rabid L.A. fan base coming in.
And I think clearly have the brighter future of the two teams as well.
Yeah. I mean, Phillip Rivers has got a couple more good years, but I mean, the Chargers stink. And this, look, the San Antonio Raiders, that ain't happening because Jerry Jones, who ran this whole scheme to get Kroenke to LA, who came up with the idea, he and Bob McNair aren't letting another team in Texas. And then do you think the NFL is going to let a franchise into Vegas?
No.
Get the F out of here. No, they're not letting
them. No chance.
Yeah. I mean, like, you talk about potential for, what happens the first time there's a questionable officiating call in a Las Vegas NFL game? I mean, yeah, exactly. So that's not happening. But it's fun to.
Yeah, you know, if they do that, the first free agent signing should of course be Pac-Man Jones.
Godzilla. Did you see Nick Costos? I know you are a man of romantic ways, capable of wooing the women out there. Did you see?
Not false.
Did you? I know. Did you see what Russell Wilson did?
He bought Ciara a promise ring, right?
No. I don't know if you saw this or not. This is pretty incredible. No. So, because it was kind of a dumb story, but Russell Wilson sent out this tweet for, I guess the kids are doing this. It's hashtag WCW, Woman.
Yeah, Woman Crush Wednesday.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it until Russell did it. Well, so he wrote, PM hashtag Woman Crush Wednesday. I kissed her and she had honey sweet lips that were lilac soft with a loving and affectionate personality at Ciara. It's like, well, that's kind of nice, but those words seem weird. Someone Googled the phrase, right? If you Google the phrase, how to describe a beautiful woman, that's the list. Like, that he's using crib notes to describe his lady.
Dude, this guy's got to get laid.
He Googled how to describe a beautiful woman and then copy and pasted it into a tweet to give his girl a shout out, his girl that he's not having sex with, a shout out.
Yo, Russ got to get some action.
I mean, like, what the hell is going on around here?
Like, the 40-year-old virgin, I'll never forget watching it for the first time, when Steve Carell finally gets laid at the end of the movie and he's sort of laying there and he has this expression on his face as if to be like, I feel like all the secrets of the universe have just been displayed in front of me. Like, I've just unlocked the secrets to everything. Russ needs to get laid and just sit there and bask in the afterglow, and that will fix everything for Russell Wilson.
It's crazy, too, because it's not like Russell hadn't had sex. I mean, he was married. You know, like, he was married. Like, surely he had sex with his wife, right?
You'd hope so.
I would think so. But so he then goes back on Twitter and he's like, ha ha ha, actually I prefer Bing to describe my love. Hashtag still can't find enough words. So in other words, he found out, he realized he got busted Googling compliments. And now he's like, It's just he's just trying too hard.
I guess it's the thought that counts. Like, I'm sure, like, Ciara probably, like, is it the thought that counts, or
no,
is it? Is it
no, I mean, you saw my face.
You're right.
It's not the thought that counts. It's embarrassing. The thought's stupid.
It is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Who Googles? Like, I say things that are not as romantic as that to my wife.
That you just make up.
But at least they're coming from me.
Yeah,
like,
if I said
that to her, I was like, you know what, honey, your lips are lilac sauce. She'd be like, who are you sleeping with? She'd be like, who are you sleeping around?
But here's the thing, right? Like, listen, like, we both write and talk for a living, right?
Yeah, sure.
I fancy myself a bit of a wordsmith. Like, there are times when I talk to a woman.
No doubt.
And the stuff that I pull out of my ass, I'm like, I say it and I'm like, damn, that was impressive. Like, that was really good. Like, Russell Wilson is a really well-spoken, smart dude. Like, he just can't come up with stuff off the cuff to say to his girl. I mean, geez, like, I mean, like, you see him give these post-game press conferences. The dude's massively intelligent. He's extremely well-spoken.
He's a robot.
Sure, but I mean, maybe that should be the next program added to his robotic structure, should be how to compliment a woman. I mean, God and save us, it's not that difficult.
You are very beautiful. It's your lilac soft eyes.
Beautiful. And I will not have sex with you.
No sex for you. Okay. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I thought that you would like that.
And like, Russ, I'm being sincere. I know, like, it's like Russ has got the religious thing, and in all respect to that.
Sure.
If you're going to hell for having sex with Ciara, I mean, I guess the devil should make some room for me, because I'd be right there on that train. I mean, come on, man.
I mean, let's throw out a question here. Does Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl since he got divorced and stopped having sex? I'm just saying. I don't think so, right? He hadn't. I believe he got divorced after the Super Bowl, after all the fame and magic of that Super Bowl. So maybe might wanna go get laid. So there you go. I'm sure.
I think that's generally a good rule of thumb for most people in life.
Just go get laid. Be relaxed. Just,
I mean, really. Are you in stress? Like, are you yeah, under massive amounts of stress? Yeah. Are you having a hard time concentrating at work? You know what you need to do? Get laid.
Try sex.
It really does help.
We are gonna get fired somehow. I think this is actually a totally kosher conversation. By the way, Travis Kelce. Other dating news, is doing a reality dating show with 50 women.
What?
Good for you, Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce has automatically become my role model in life. I would like to grow up and be Travis Kelce, even though I'm old.
It's actually called Catching Kelce.
Oh my God. Who did he pitch to get this done? Can I talk to this person? I mean, Travis Kelce, to be fair, is sort of like a Greek god in terms of physical stature. And I did not win the genetic lottery. I don't think I'm an ugly guy by any means, but I'm certainly not, you know, statuesque like Travis Kelce is. Can I get a reality? I'd settle for 5 women fighting over me, much less 50.
Hi, we're here with The Bachelor, Sloppy Seconds, starring Nick Costas.
I mean, I would go sloppy fourths on The Bachelor with some of those girls on that show.
Two of them for Fort Lauderdale. You got to make this happen.
I'll tell you what. Have you seen any of the episodes?
I have not. I've been meaning to watch, and I just can't find time.
Jubilee from Fort Lauderdale.
I did see her. And then my girl, the other Fort Lauderdale girl.
I don't forget her name.
Samantha, Mandy with an I, maybe.
Mandy with an I, yes. Mandy with an I, who I think is right up your alley. Mandy with an I. Now, I am too nice to say that I would push one of my ex-girlfriends off a cliff for Jubilee. I'm too nice. I would never say something like that. So I won't say that I would push my ex-girlfriend off a cliff for Jubilee.
I love your subtlety. Okay. Finally, to the Super Bowl, the Panthers installed as 3.5, 4.5 point favorites, depending on where you saw it. Maybe a 4-point favorite early on. I think the 4.5 point line came out at halftime in the NFC Championship game. Yep. That's how badly they were beating Arizona. And then we saw a sharp movement, or maybe the initial actually was 5.5. We saw a sharp movement down because a lot of people came out early on the Broncos. But it's interesting because since then, all of the money has been on the Panthers. 80% of the public total has been on the Panthers. And everything you hear from these sports books, as this number continued to climb, and it got up to 6 yesterday, as this number continued to climb, was we can't seem to get anybody to bet on the Broncos. And so what I'm wondering, Nick, do you think this is a situation where everybody is on the Panthers legitimately, or do you think this is one of those false front things where the sharps are laying out a bunch of
dummy money,
trying to get this up to 7 and buy it at 7, knowing that they love the Broncos getting a touchdown?
I don't think there's any way this line's going to make it to seven. It's just, it's not going to happen. Seven's too key a number. There will be resistance from the market here. I think it's six. I don't think it'll go up to 6.5 or get higher. And I don't think this is dummy money that pushed the line up to six. You said it. Over 80% of the wagers have been on the Carolina Panthers. And the test that I like to use, I say this all the time, right? And on Sunday night after the NFC Championship game, I sent a text to a bunch of my buddies who all like to gamble on sports, sure, and said, you know, Panthers -4 over the Broncos. Who do you got in the Super Bowl? Every single person responded back, Carolina. You talk to people at work. Who's going to win, the Panthers or Broncos? Almost everyone likes the Carolina Panthers. And that's generally why I like to go the other way. But I think that you see the impetus there for the line moving up from 4 to 6. Everyone likes Carolina. Now, just talking to Todd Furman, one of my sports line colleagues who is out in Vegas, talks to a lot of these people on a daily basis. I have a ton of respect for his information and what he brings to the table. I think he's right when he says that the sharps were waiting in the weeds here to be on the Denver Broncos, trying to get the best possible number. I think you'll see that number get driven back down as we move towards Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not saying it's going to go to 3, 3.5 by any means. I still think it'll settle in that 4.5, 5 range, but there's no way this line will stay at 6 for too long. The money will come in on the Broncos at that number. It's sort of an outrageous number, I think. I saw it yesterday. I plopped down a couple fairly hardy wagers by my standards, sent a text to my buddies. If you like the Broncos, now's the time to hop on. So if you're listening to this podcast right now and you like the Denver Broncos to win or cover in the Super Bowl and you can get the number 6, I would recommend doing so because I can't imagine that number reaching 6.5.
I'm with you. And I think you look at, so
could be wrong, but that would be my strong educated guess.
Well, looking at, right, the over-under is 45.5, and or 45.5, and that didn't move when the Panthers line moved, which means to me the Panthers line was strictly a result of heavy public money coming in and people Vegas trying to adjust it so that people had to deal, you know, with paying a little bit of a premium to get the Panthers at 6. Now, if you got the Panthers at 4, I think you're in pretty good shape. I still like them at 6. I don't love them at 6. I'm not going to take them at 6 if I took them at 4, because that's just idiotic. And I think you could see a situation like with 2 years ago where late the Seahawks got a pile of money. Remember, the Seahawks ended up being favored 2 years ago after initially being underdogs. They were favorites late because sharp money came pouring.
Yeah, I think they closed to what, like 1 or 1.5 point favorites?
Yeah, 1.5. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Panthers close at like 3.5 or 4. Because you see a surge of money coming in late on the Broncos.
Well, I have a nice amount of money of my own right now tied up in the Denver Broncos +6 points.
There you go. Well, I mean, look, I think 6 is just too much, you know, and I mean, that's a lot of points for a Super Bowl and a really good defense. Now, it is interesting. I'm looking at the total. This is on sportsbook.com, looking at the point total for each team. The Panthers over under is now 26. That's been bumped up. And the Broncos over is 20. I have a problem thinking the Broncos are going to get 20 points or 21 points. Am I crazy?
I don't know that you're crazy, but I think that thinking that Carolina's going to, and Carolina's been an over machine this year, mostly at home though. And this Broncos defense is just so good. And I think it's fairly disrespectful to think that Carolina's just going to wipe the floor with Denver. And, you know, we think back to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and it was brought up on the opening line podcast earlier in the week that, I think it was Adam Azer that said he thinks it's going to be a similar type Super Bowl to the 43-8 drubbing we saw a couple years ago, Seattle against Denver. But you remember how John Elway and Denver responded to that loss once the new league year started,
By buying a ton of defensive players.
This Denver defense is much better now than it was when they lost to the Seahawks a couple years ago. You talk about Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, you know, signing Aqib Talib, the emergence of Chris Harris, the emergence of Derek Wolfe and Brandon Marshall, and drafting Bradley Roby and some of the other stud players on that defense. I just think that unit is too good to think that Carolina is just going to march up and down the field and wipe the floor with them. You know, everyone loved the New England Patriots and their offense, you know, when they got everybody back healthy, and we saw what the Broncos did to them in the AFC Championship game. I'm bullish on the Denver D, and that's why I like Denver in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm with you. I think everybody is taking the Panthers in the over, and that's when you got to start worrying. I would be much, much happier with my Panthers pick and my belief that the Panthers are going to roll in this game if a lot of people were on the Broncos. I think there are more people on the Broncos than is being let on. You know what I mean? Like, the public is betting on the Panthers because they look good in the last game. But I think you look at, like, our expert picks, we got a lot of people who are taking the Broncos. You know?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I know Pete Prisco likes the Broncos. I like the Broncos. I'm happy to see that. Actually, you know what? I'm not happy to see that.
No, you want to be solo. Like, you want to be solo.
I like to be solo. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah. But I do like when Prisco, because we both had the Broncos in the AFC game as well.
Well, and I had the Broncos covering too in the AFC game. I thought that they were undervalued given that they were at home and getting those points. And I agree with you. But the difference to me is that the Panthers do a much better job of protecting Cam Newton than the Patriots did protecting Tom Brady. And I think
you couldn't be worse.
No, you couldn't be worse. And I think the run game is going to be impressive for the Panthers.
Who's the Panthers' right tackle whose name is escaping me at the moment?
Rimmers.
Rimmers, yeah. So it's
Rimmers against Von Miller. It's a problem.
I mean, we're talking about Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware against Remmers and Orr. I mean, come on here.
Yeah, it's they call it the blind side for a reason, sir. All right, prop bets. We'll have plenty of time.
Great book.
Week. Yeah. No.
Love Sandra Bullock. What up, Sandy?
Terrible movie. Great book. I put great down book. 8 prop bets that will win you money. I am sure that people in the comments are saying you're a loser. Shut your mouth. But I'm going to tell you what they are, and then you can tell me what you think about them, and then you can list any prop bets that you love of your own. First off, the coin toss. Not a guarantee to make you money, but it is literally a 50-50 proposition.
No, I actually think, Will, that it's 100% the coin toss. It's actually a scientifically proven fact. Like, mathematics dictates this. Have you ever heard the axiom, tails never fails? It's science. I mean, it's right below Einstein's theory of relativity on the science scale. So I will be placing a nice size wager on tails, as I do each and every year. And it's like I always say, tails never fails unless it does.
I'm glad that we are both tails guys. That makes me happy. I am also a tails guy. I go tails all the time. I think you go tails.
It never fails.
That's right. My next one, so there's free money. You just doubled your money right there. Will either team score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game? I was thinking, oh my God, that's an easy yes. And I started looking at the Panthers last like 6 or 7 games. They've only done it 3 times since Thanksgiving. And you think about they did it against Seattle. They did it against Dallas when they had I think it was a Kirk Coleman pick 6. And they did it against the Falcons the first time they played.
They were 14-0 before the game practically started.
That's right. But you start to look at it. Arizona, they scored at exactly 9.5 minutes. They really don't score that fast coming out. So I think I actually like the no bet here because people are going to be taking the over. People are going to be expecting a lot of points. And I think that they come out a little bit slow and steady, maybe kind of feeling each other out. And you don't, especially if Denver wins the toss and can kind of do like a nice little, you know, 3/4 field drive and then punt pin, then all of a sudden you're in a great shot. Great space.
You know what first half prop bet I like? Will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the half? I think yes is only -140, and that's going to be an auto play for me. I think that there will be a score in the final couple minutes of the first half. That's one that I'm looking at. If I'm playing a first half wager, that'll be one of them. But I want to hit you with a couple of real degenerate plays. Me and my buddies have done this before. Back when I lived in New York and I would watch games on Sundays with all my friends, we would always take one game and bet, will there be a coach's challenge? It has to be a big game because they're not going to offer the prop otherwise. Which team will have the first coach's challenge of the game? Essentially what happens is you start rooting for a cluster you-know-what to occur on the field, like a catch, and you don't know if it's a catch or not. And then you are screaming at the television for Ron Rivera or Gary Kubiak to like reach into the sock and pull out the challenge flag. You want to talk excitement? Like, you are rooting for a big pile, and then they start signaling the defense that the ball's going the other way, and you didn't see the fumble.
You're
so you know that a challenge
chaos.
Could become.
You're rooting for chaos.
That is extreme excitement. Also, which team will have the first penalty? That's a lot of fun. You end up screaming on the TV each and every play. There's a hold on that play that's not called. So those are some nice degenerate plays to sort of wet your whistle a little bit. No scientific, you know, backing behind it or thought behind it, saying you might have an edge here. This is pure degenerate status. And if you're going to go full on degenerate, I think Super Bowl Sunday is a great day to do it. And I will certainly be doing that with some of these plays coming up next week.
I love that. How about John Fox? Over, under, number of times the words John Fox will be said during the broadcast. The over, under is 1. How will they know?
Oh, I think it'll be at least 1, if not 2.
Absolutely. So I think you take the over and you hope that you're going to get 1 because they're going to say both these teams coached by John Fox, of course, who was here with the Broncos 2 years ago. And then you hope you squeak in another one. Maybe we go chat with Phil and Jim. Say, hey, buddies. What's going on? I know you guys are really hoping to say John Fox a couple times on the broadcast. I got a sizable
like,
chunk there.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, the broadcasters have to be aware of this kind of stuff.
I mean, you hear Al Michaels and Britt Musburger. Of course they are.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, they sort of can't help themselves with that stuff. Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP odds. Actually, I'm not going to go over this because we talked about this on the Sportsline podcast. We had some great picks there if you want to go listen to that. I like the Broncos total points under 20 just because I don't think they scored 20 points against the Patriots, and that was maxing out against a defense that isn't as good as the Panthers. They could backdoor something with a defensive or special teams touchdown, but I like the Broncos under. Do you like the over there or under?
I would lean more towards the over than the under.
But you like the Broncos, so that's.
I like the Broncos,
and that's the difference. All right, I love this particular combination of bet that I'm throwing down here. First touchdown scored, right? So you're betting on who will score the first touchdown. Cam Newton is plus 700. This is on Bovada, and plus 900 on Sportsbook. And Jonathan Stewart is plus 800 on Bovada and plus 850 on Sportsbook. So what I'm doing, I'm going to take each of those guys on who's going to score the first touchdown and bet one unit apiece on those guys. It pays out really well because you got pretty good odds. And if you look at it, Cam Newton, 5 rushing touchdowns in his past 4 games. Stewart, 4 rushing touchdowns in his past 4 games. You combine those two guys, and if the Panthers get in the red zone, you have a really good shot of one of those guys scoring, I think.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. But I think Denver might score the first points of this game here. That's the only reason why I'd be a little reticent to make that play. A guy that I really like, I may play him to score the first touchdown. I need to take a stronger look at the numbers here and what the odds are. But I'll be playing several Emmanuel Sanders prop bets in this game. I feel like he's become Peyton's go-to guy. Demaryius Thomas, not phased out, but hasn't really been the impact player that he's been in the past. I like Emmanuel Sanders. I like his over receiving yards. I like his over receptions. And yes, plus 160 will Emmanuel Sanders score a touchdown in the game.
That's a good call. And plus, you got to figure too that the likely scenario here is Josh Norman matched up against Demaryius Thomas, which means Manny Sanders is kind of roaming free against Cortland Finnegan and Robert McClain. And those are matchups you would like to see.
Indeed. Cortland Finnegan, I mean, I feel like Cortland Finnegan couldn't cover people 3 years ago, much less in Super Bowl Sunday.
So he may punch somebody, though. You never know.
And he may punch me, so I hope he's not listening. And if he is, I'm sorry.
Hey, Cortland, thanks for listening, pal.
I'm not Andre Johnson size, so I'm not sure if I'd want to rumble with Cortland Finnegan.
No, so what were the odds on the Manny Sanders scoring a touchdown plus 160?
I think it's yes plus 160, no minus 180.
I like that. I like the yes there too. Here's a touchdown prop I like as well. So you can combine this is on Sportsbook. You can combine a Cam rushing touchdown. So Cam has to score a rushing touchdown, and the Panthers have to win straight up. And it's plus 190. So you're taking the Panthers' money line from minus 230 and moving it to plus 190 by virtue of just having Cam score a touchdown. Now, I realize Cam scoring, just any times he scores a rushing touchdown is not, you know, it's not guaranteed. But again, 5 rushing touchdowns in his last 4 games. I like that combination if you're bullish on the Panthers, because it means you're getting the money line at a much cheaper price. And all you need to do is see Mr. Newton plunge into the end zone for the 6th time in 5 games.
Yeah, it's not terrible, and I'm trying to find the Cam. Will Cam have a rushing touchdown prop and see what that total is here? I have literally 32 pages of notes here while I sort of look for that. Yeah, I don't hate that. Oh, yeah, will Cam score a touchdown? Yes is plus 120.
Right. So, I mean, I feel like the math on combining those, you're kind of getting some pretty good parlay action there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I have an accounting degree, but, I mean, you wouldn't want me to do your taxes, so I'm not good at math.
I have an English degree, and I can't write, so that's fine. and then, finally, I would, just because I'm – just because I think it would be amusing if it happened. I mean, I probably won't bet this, but the first scoring play, bet on a Broncos safety. Broncos elect to receive. Peyton Manning takes the snap, and for the second time in 3 years, the ball flies past his face into the end zone, recovered by the Denver Broncos, and it's a safety. That's plus 5,000.
That should be plus abstain from sex for 6 months if it happens. Yeah. That ain't happening. Not again.
You never know. I mean, it probably isn't happening.
I mean, listen, like the laws of I tend to believe that the laws of mathematics sort of govern the universe. Like, mathematics dictates that will not happen again.
I've lost somewhere between $10 and $25 on worse things. I'll just say
Fair enough.
All right, those are all the problems.
I'll tell you what, the anticipation level for that first snap of the game, you talk about action, that might be worth the price of admission.
That's right. First scoring play, Broncos safety. It could always happen. Could be a botched punt. Doesn't even have to be that first snap. True. All right, so those are all the props I got. You got anything else you love?
I'm going to take Peyton to win Super Bowl MVP. I'm rolling with my man, the Sheriff. I got to take Peyton to win MVP. I gave out the Emmanuel Sanders ones. I think I like Cam. longest pass play. Here it is, 37 and a half. I think I like the over there.
Yeah.
They sling the ball down the field quite a bit. I think I like over 37 and a half yards for Cam's longest completion.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. They take vertical shots. All right. Excellent podcast, sir.
There you have it.
We'll be back next week to break down the Super Bowl in advance. Thanks for listening.
So we will be doing that in person.
Yeah, we'll probably sit down over some cold beers and record a podcast.
That sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you guys soon.
Peace out.